Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is Episode 50, 2020 Candidate Forum, Carson Jorgensen, Congressional District 2.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. We're so glad that you're here in our new and improved format during this crazy time that we're in, and hope it's okay on your end that you get to take advantage of all of these great candidate interviews that we're doing. I'm Jenny Hendricks, and I'm here with my co-host.
I am Jesse Harris.
And we're excited today. We've got another candidate for the 2nd Congressional District. We're here with Carson Jorgensen. So Carson, welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on, guys. I sure appreciate it.
You bet. We're glad that you had time to be here with us today. Well, as our listeners know, we always kind of ask our candidates the same basic questions and give you an opportunity to kind of tell candidate or tell voters what they need to know about you. So, Carson, tell us a little bit about yourself to start out with.
So, I guess it's hard to always decide where to start. So I was born and raised here in Utah. I've been here my entire life. My family were from here in San Pete County. My family's been ranching sheep here for the last 6 generations. Right now, my family, we've got about 5,000 head of sheep right now. And we're in the middle of lambing season, as I was saying. We ran away from the barn and changed my clothes in a hurry to be able to get here. But we've been here the whole time, and that's been a really big part of my upbringing, is the agricultural roots and my background in agriculture. And I really love it, and I love that part of Utah. And I love the public lands. We spend a lot of time on public lands. My wife and I, we got married 10 years ago, I guess, was this year. We have 3 daughters and a 4th one on the way. Another daughter. Yes, everybody tells me how lucky I am to have 4 girls. But like I say, we've just been here for a long time, and we really love Utah, and we don't like some of the things we're seeing. And so we're really, really looking forward to getting into the future and having somewhat of a say in what goes on and how it affects the people here in the rural part of Utah.
That's great. I think everybody that watches this podcast or listens to this podcast knows that we spend a lot of time talking about rural issues, and sometimes those things are important to rural Utah. Sometimes get a little lost in the conversation. So that's great that you've got that connection and feel that passion for the rural part of the state as well.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it too, is I think a lot of times rural Utah gets overlooked because, you know, even though we take up the majority of the land mass, we don't make up the majority of the population.
Right.
But yet many of the big things that come out of rural Utah, many of the things that happen deal with rural Utah. You want to talk about the national parks and our public lands, those are all rural Utah, and they are huge impact. And there's so much that comes out of those that sometimes rural Utah, we need a bigger seat at the table. And it's time that we have representation for rural Utah that can understand both ends of the spectrum.
That's great. Well, so you're running for the 2nd Congressional District. That's kind of a big task. That's a big job. So tell us, why are you running for this office?
Yeah, so kind of like I touched on earlier, Utah is over 60% federally owned. The rural part of Utah, the 2nd Congressional District, takes up a huge chunk of it, from Wendover to St. George and over to Kanab and out to Bullfrog, then back up and takes most of Juab County, and then takes in a huge swath of downtown Salt Lake. So that kind of makes it a little different. But it does take in a big majority of Utah's public lands. And I don't have a statistic, but I probably am going to look it up now, how much of the 2nd Congressional District is actually owned by the federal government. And I would dare bet that it's around 80%, I would think. We'll have to look at it. But, and like you say, it's a huge number. Either way you look at it, 60% of our state owned by the federal government's a huge number. And I always kind of look back, and when Reagan talked about, you know, if you think that a government that lives 1,000 miles away is better suited to run your life than you, then we have a problem. Mm-hmm. Well, if you think that the federal government that's thousands of miles away is more suited to run our public lands than we are, than the people who use it on a daily basis, then we've got a problem. And that's where we're getting. Also, we lose control of our lands, and then things happen like wildfires. We lose control over our logging, our grazing. We lose control over our watersheds. And then we end up ruining all these watersheds and stuff like that is so important to us that we have no control over it. And that's something I want to get past. I want to see more local control. I want to see more local input on these kind of things. I would like to have more control over it. And not only that, there's a lot of things that I want to see change, especially as far as the budget goes and taxes. Everybody knows that we're taxed far too much. And in the federal government, I believe we don't have a funding problem. We have a spending problem. And until we take a stand and say, you know what, it doesn't matter what you're trying to increase the budget for, there's no more excuse for it. We're done increasing the budget, and I will not vote to increase the budget no matter what it entails. And we're going to have to come to that point where we say, you know what, yeah, that sounds like a good idea and a good program, but we don't have the money for it. We're not going to spend it. I'm going to plant my feet here in the dirt, and we're going to say, you know what, sorry, this is our budget. This is the amount of money coming in. This is the amount of money we have to spend, and we're not going to go over no matter what it is. And it's time we have public officials and elected officials who do that, who have a backbone and who stand up and say, you know what, enough is enough.
That's great. I love your passion. So talk to us about some of the specific things that you hope to be able to accomplish if you are elected.
So like I've talked about before, you can tell that I'm a big advocate for our public lands. You can tell there's a lot of things that really strike me in public lands, mainly because I've spent most of my life living and working in these public lands. A lot of our grazing permits, our summer and winter grazing permits, are owned by the BLM and the Forest Service. And we spend so much time in there, but yet I see every year we continue to lose little pieces of control. We tend to lose little things that affect our everyday lives. I'm sure many of you, being from Iron County, are aware of the RS-2477 roads. They're roads that are grandfathered in, that we have access to our public lands, and not just our public lands, but private lands inside of those public lands. And those rights of way have been here for years, and they need to continue. And even in Tooele County right now, I was talking with some constituents out there the other day, and the feds have come in and shut down a bunch of their trails that they've used for years and years and years. And now the feds have all of a sudden decided, you know what, we don't want you to use those. But that's not the case. And once again, those roads are so important to our infrastructure, the health and safety of our people, and how much we use our, when 60% of your state is owned by the feds, we have to have access to those things, because that's what we use to make our livelihoods. A few other things, like I said, touched on. I would like to change this tax deal. We continue to add taxes instead of allotting more money going out. We keep thinking that we need to add more taxes. Well, we have plenty of tax. I believe that the tax rate right now is around 37%. 37% of your money you make goes to the government. And when is enough enough? And right now, being one, people always say this to me, say, you know, you're one of 435 people in Congress. What are you going to do to make a difference? Well, with my background in social media, with my background in online advertising and doing things like you and I are doing today, I've been able to reach millions and millions of people sitting here in rural Utah. When somebody in rural Utah can take, and I was just looking at my stats the other day as I was scrolling through, and in the last 2 years, we've got over 13 or 14 million video views over the last 2 years, just on videos about rural Utah and what matters and what we need here. And for somebody like me to be able to reach out and do things like that with what little reach I have, I think it's time our politicians start using their platform for good, not just for their vote, but to bring awareness and to bring transparency. And that's something I really plan on doing, is being completely transparent and letting people see through what's going on in the government. Because when things get complicated, to me, that's just a place where somebody's going to hide something. And so we need to simplify. I would also like to see bills, that these big omnibus bills that we have that include thousands and thousands of different things, I want that over with. you know, it's going to be an uphill battle. But I would like to see bills that are short, that are 3 pages long, 4 pages long, and whatever is in the title, the bill, that's all that can be in the bill. There can't be anything that doesn't relate to the title in the bill. And those are some of the things I really want to see change, and to bring awareness and just let people know, to be completely transparent and to communicate with the constituents and just to be able to let them see what is actually going on. Because at the end of the day, people just want to be heard.
I think that's great. I think there's a lot to what you just said, even in this latest bill that with the $2 trillion to deal with the COVID virus. I mean, it's 1,000 pages long, and you know, we may never know everything that's in it. So I appreciate that, and I think a lot of our listeners will too. Jesse, did you have something? You look like you were jumping in.
Yeah, I know that we all love to spend a lot of time talking about the things Congress is doing wrong. What are some things you think Congress is actually getting right?
That's a tough one right now. You know, I've always seen things as most of these things start out with good intentions. I don't think anybody starts out with a bill with bad intentions. And I may be wrong. I try to see the best in people. And I think there's so much divide that I think that one side feels that they're doing the right thing. Like they are convinced that they are doing the right thing, and so is the other. And when they put these bills forward, I believe that truly they believe that. And then we start negotiating on things, and then it goes south. It's, I want this and you want that, and but this doesn't even relate to this, but we'll throw it in there anyways because I want it. But one of the things, like I say, I think that they're trying to do what they think is right, even if we don't agree with them. I think that we're doing pretty good things. Like I said, this bailout, or whatever you want to call it, the stimulus package, I think it's a good thing. I think the country needs help. Whether they went about it in the right way or not, I'm not 100% sure, because like you said, this thing is thousands of pages long and we won't even know what it completely costs until it's over. And so, like I say, I think they're trying to do the right things, and we can sit here 1,000 miles away and say they should be doing this and they should be doing that. We can continue to be divisive and say the other side's evil and they're terrible and they're doing these things. But at the end of the day, we have to maintain our morals. We have to keep what's important to rural Utah there. And then we have to put forward the best bill that we can, but not let us sneak anything else in there. So I don't know if that really answers your question. I know President Trump is really trying. He's really trying to boost the middle class, and the economy was going great until we hit this virus. And they were moving forward with some things. And so I think there are some things they are doing good, but there's a lot of things and a lot of people out there. When I talk to constituents, they're very upset. They're disgusted with how people or what people are doing in Congress, and they're really tired of the way things are going.
Yeah, I appreciate that point too, of, you know, treating people as if they're being earnest with you. I think that goes a long way towards building understanding with other people and being able to reach a consensus.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's completely lacking, is the ability to try to understand. Somebody told me a long time ago, and I can't remember which book it came from, if I read it in a book or it was a quote, but somebody said, seek first to understand and then to be understood. And the best way to argue against an argument is to understand their side of the point better than they do. And I don't feel like there's any of that going on. We see many of our representatives have tunnel vision. They see it how they see it, but we also need to try to understand. I mean, we don't have to give. We don't have to give up our values and what's made this country great, but we also need to try and see what's going on the other side so that we can help them understand and help ourselves understand where they're coming from, because we're not all the same.
That's great, Carson. So, you know, there's maybe some good intentions in Congress, and I think we can point to some things that, you know, people are probably well-intentioned. I might be just a little more cynical than you, but
yeah.
So tell us, in your view, what should be improved, not just in Congress as a whole, but specifically in the 2nd Congressional District?
I've touched on it once again. I know I say this about every point we get onto, because I feel like it all connects, but this divisiveness, this is how we get on with things. We have to begin to work together. We have to start crossing over the aisle. I was watching a video the other day and it had statistics, and I wish I had the numbers in front of me, but it was showing the amount of bills from the 1960s till now and how many times each party crossed over the aisle and how many times they voted together and how many times they collaborated together on these bills. And it used to be a web of interlocked and interconnected things. They went back and forth across the aisle. There was many partisan bills. There was many bipartisan bills. And they were sponsored by both sides of the party. But as the years went on, those lines continued to straighten out and straighten out and straighten out to the point where they hardly cross over, rarely at all anymore. And this my way or the highway deal has got to go. When they said the Constitution was the great compromise, yeah, it wasn't perfect, but it was the best they could do. And they stuck up for what was right. They all stuck up for what they knew. And that's how they moved on. And that's what, in my opinion, needs to change. If we want to move forward and if we want to come to an understanding, we need to start crossing those party aisles and start communicating. Because once we start demonizing people, once we start telling people and, like I say, dehumanizing them, it's easy to fight with them. Once we call them things that they really aren't, it's easy to pick a fight. And that's how these problems start.
That's great. I think all of Congress could probably be improved by a little more understanding, a little more transparency, and a little bit more reaching out across the aisle.
Absolutely.
So, Jesse, do you want to jump in with your infamous question, or should we save that for the end?
Sounds dangerous.
Well, last question I have is, if you're stuck on an elevator with a voter for, 30 seconds or so, what's your pitch for why me? Why vote for me?
Ooh, see, and this has always been one that's really hard for me, especially in this district because it's so diverse. But my 30-second pitch, and it'll probably end up going longer, but my 30-second pitch is normally, we're tired of the way things are. We continue to put in the same type of people over and over again. We keep using the same elected officials. We put them in the system. They work their way through the system. They learn all the bad habits, and then we send them on to Washington, and we expect something different from them. It's time that we put somebody there. Our founding fathers wanted this to be a government by the people and of the people and for the people. Well, that's what it is. This government was set up to be run by civilians, by everyday average people, not by the same crowd of people and not by the same people over and over again. It was meant to be farmers, ranchers, business folks, doctors, lawyers. It was meant to be all of us so that we could work together. And that's why me. It's time for something different. It's time for some good home values. It's time for agriculture to have a say, and rural Utah and rural America in general to have a say and a seat at that table.
Great. I certainly appreciate you coming in and giving us so much of your time and, letting people know who you are. Is there any parting thoughts you'd like to leave with us?
I guess just to add on, to tag along on the end of that, I want to talk a little bit about my grandpa. I never really get to give him as much credit as really is deserved. So he kind of started our ranch years ago, and when he was 14 years old, they lived in a little one-room house, and he tells us a story about how every night he would climb the ladder, and he would go up to his bedroom, and he'd wake up in the morning, and there'd be snow on his bed. And how he was able, this gets me a little emotional, but how he was able to climb out of poverty, how he was able to live the American dream, to buy his first sheep at the age of 14. And at one point he had more sheep than anybody in the United States of America. He had the biggest herd of sheep of anywhere. And they climbed out of poverty and they were able to do that. And that's what this country is all about. Later on in his life, he was able to, the sheepmen were really getting undercut by the imports. And he actually filed a lawsuit against the federal government. They had a lawsuit against the feds to suing them over the tariffs, that they weren't taxing anything coming into the United States, that our products were being taxed, and that they were putting all these stipulations on our products, but yet we were bringing in these cheap products from overseas and undercutting our entire market. And he actually went in and they won. They won against the federal government. And that's been an example of strength and courage in my life. And that's really made me the who I am. And my grandpa's example to me has been something that I want to pass on to the rest of the country. And I want to use this platform for others to be able to see, we live in a great country. we have the opportunity to live the American dream. And it's in front of us, and all we have to do is take advantage of it. And when I see kids who are my age, who fall into my generation, the millennial crowd, a lot of them want it for free. They're willing to give up everything. They're willing to let it go and watch it go down the drain for the allure of something free and not being able to do something for yourself. And that to me is sad. And I want to bring back these values, and I want the world to see them, and I want to share it with them, because it is what America is all about.
I think that's great, Carson. I appreciate that emphasis on the values and that old-fashioned, you know, kind of connection that you have with your grandfather. And I think that is representative of the way a lot of people in rural Utah feel about things and the way a lot of people in rural Utah live their lives.
Yeah, and it's sad that my generation has kind of missed out on that, and I'm truly blessed to be able to have gotten that, and I want it to pass on, and I want them to see it.
That's awesome. So before we go, tell us where voters can go to find more information. Do you have a website, a Facebook page? Where's the best way to connect with you?
So yeah, so I've been on the internet for quite some time. Anywhere is really good to find me. You can usually Google my name and find something. Facebook is great. Carson Jorgensen on Facebook. There's a few different pages, some for the congressional race, some for just my videos. And also my website is just www.carsonjorgensen.com. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. My contact information, I want to get this out to everybody. My contact information is on there. And to all the state delegates and to all the people who are going to vote in this upcoming state convention, my number's on there. I've been reaching out to every one of you. And if somehow I missed you, my cell phone number is on that website. And if you have something you want to talk about, we need to communicate, because I want to hear from you.
That's great. Well, we sure appreciate you taking time away from your sheet today.
It's cold today, so I was glad to come inside.
Right. That's great. Well, listen, everybody, if you need to find Carson Jorgensen, it's S-E-N in Jorgensen, and Google them and find out how to get in touch with him and what he's all about. Carson, we sure appreciate you coming in today. Thank you.
No, I'm truly grateful. Thank you for your time, and thanks for all you do. It's people like you who make this country go round.
You're very kind. Thank you. All right, everybody. This has been Color Country Politics. Jenny Hendricks, along with my co-host, Jesse Harris. Okay, he's not coming back on. We'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.